chances are you've seen them on the road. That's because Blue Ox designs and manufactures the best towing products in the industry. Just look around. You'll find them on highways and campgrounds and anywhere you find people traveling in the great outdoors. From award-winning tow bars and base plates to a full line of weight distribution hitches, adjustable ball mounts, and now they have fifth wheel hitches too. With Blue Ox, towing doesn't have to be a drag. Visit blueox.com for more information. This week, coming to you from our homecoming event in Amana, Iowa, this is a live recording of the RV Miles podcast. Yeah. Welcome to episode number 380 of RV Miles. I'm Jason.
And I'm Abby, and we are two RVers who, along with a host of a bunch of new RV friends, have been traveling all over the country since 2016. Here at RV Miles, we talk all things RV and outdoors, from industry news to travel destinations, our national parks, all of your questions, and so much more.
We are coming to you from our homecoming rally in Amana, Iowa, with so many good friends from years past and so many new friends that we're happy to have here. Our good friends Tony and Peggy just showed up today from the Stressless Camping podcast.
Woo! Dropping in.
And Abby's parents, Dave and Sue, are here with Dave on the guitar playing the theme song for this show.
Maybe for the last time.
Maybe for the last time. Well, this is a conversation we've had several times over and over. Is we may have to change our theme music, and it's weird and it's annoying, but it's a YouTube issue that we have to deal with every single week, and it's causing problems. And it may cause us to change our theme music. So I hope you all keep tuning in and listening whether we change it or not.
No, they're just here for the theme song. That's it. That's it. Then all the views just tank after about 45 seconds. They're like, we're done.
Let's give Dave Trebue a big hand again. So on this show, we are doing a Q&A episode, as we like to do from our homecoming events. This is our third homecoming rally that we do at the end of each fall, sort of the celebration of the end of the camping season. And we've had our good friends here at the rally write down a whole bunch of questions for us. We have no idea what they are about. I was going to put them in order, just like theme them out, but then I thought, well, then I would see them, and I don't want to see them. So this is all a surprise to us, and I know...
I feel like we might have
I know close
to see
friends
them.
And family members may have put some interesting ones in there.
So we'll see how this goes. So yeah, this whole episode is just going to be led by those of you out here at homecoming with us. So we have a lot of questions to get to. This is way more than I thought we were going to get, which is quite fun. So let's just dive right into this. Is it a fashion faux pas to wear RV Miles swag at another RV influencer's event?
Listen.
No.
We
absolutely not.
There
wear
may be
pride.
Other people that frown upon that things, but we've had plenty of KYD merchandise at our,
yeah,
at our rallies over the years, so we're happy with you to
actually, and the real reason is no. And I say that not because it's RV Miles swag. Like, I would be fine if I looked out here and you all were wearing merchandise that supported other content creators or supported other brands that you enjoy, because this is not a competition.
No.
It's never been a competition for us. I've always felt that a rising tide lifts all boats. And you all have the bandwidth and the capabilities to enjoy more than just RV Miles. I know we're your favorite, but that's okay.
And
you can go in.
Most of the RV content creators out there would agree. There are a few out there that are very territorial and strange, but you know, most of us would all agree. We get to see each other from time to time at some of the big RV shows and at other events, and most of us have made great friendships with each other and enjoy getting together and talking about what we do, because you know, we're not big multinational conglomerates competing with each other. We're creating a space, hopefully, where you all can come and learn and talk and enjoy RVing somewhere on the internet.
Yeah, so wear it with pride, and wear it with pride here as well, always. Close your eyes and tell us your vision for you in New Mexico.
Oh, okay. So we've talked a lot. Can I keep my eyes open still? Can metaphorically close my eyes? So we've talked a lot about how we want to buy some land in New Mexico and potentially maybe move there one day. So, yeah. I mean, this is something I've thought about a lot. Just shoo the fly off of me.
Shoo fly.
I was just letting it be there.
I can't have that. I'm sorry. Not when you're trying to wax poetic.
So, what do you want to answer this? What are your thoughts on...
How I envision us?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yes, I have thoughts on this. So, for me, I would really like to see us somewhere between Santa Fe and Albuquerque. Santa Fe, because I really want to be close to art and a food scene. Albuquerque, because I want us to be close to a major airport. I also want to be close to a really metropolitan area where I can still go to Costco and Trader Joe's and all of those things. But I want to be still removed from all of that. I would like us to have at least, 5 acres, maybe. I would like it to be land where we could welcome people to come and spend time with us, to have some developed campsites on there. I would love for it to either two things, either be a place where we keep maybe someday the 37 RV Miles just lives there when it's time to put it into retirement, and it's a place that we get to go to, and we have the rig there, and then over time, maybe we build out a barn dominium or something similar that we would like to put onto the land. But I do really want it to be, I'd like to have a nice mountain view. I would like to just have a place that feels where I have such good memories. It's so silly. I don't know why I'm getting all upset about this. I'm getting all emotional. New Mexico is really special to us. And I would like
It's special to us, and there's just so much access to so much greatness around there. And a lot of people ask us why we love New Mexico so much. And I like to say, I'm copying this from somebody from New Mexico, I'm sure, but it's like Arizona without all the people. It's got a lot of gorgeous to it, and it's got a lot of just sort of raw desert land too, but there's so many different varying types topographies and climates and all that.
It was the first time that we felt really like RVers.
Yeah.
It was the first big thing we had taken Wanderbus on. And it just, and our kids were little, and there was just, it was so magical that winter, spring we spent. And so, yeah, I like New Mexico, clearly. getting all emotional. So thank you to whoever got me crying within question number two. That's fantastic. If you were king of the RV industry, what would you change?
Oh, well, so we talked about this a lot this morning. So one of the things that we do as part of this rally is something, we just started last year, but we call it the RV Consumer Roundtable. And folks here for about 2 hours this morning shared some of the thoughts and ideas that they have for the RV industry. And, that's where I get a lot of my thoughts from, is hearing from what other people say and hearing what manufacturers say too, because I like it. I truly love that a big part of my job is being sort of an interface between the two and sharing with the manufacturers things I'm hearing from RVers and vice versa. And I think the biggest thing, we all talk about quality issues and all that sort of stuff, but the biggest thing is for the RV industry to step outside of the idea of just trying to put a unit out for the lowest price they can or the highest profit they can, and understand that we are willing to pay an extra couple $1,000s for quality features that we know about. If you can tell us that they're in there and there's a reason for them, and we truly believe that those quality features, like a composite flooring or whatever it is, something that will help our resale value, something that will help our unit last longer, we are willing to pay for those things if you put those things in our rigs. And I know, and all the folks that here know, that a lot of the dealers don't want to pay for those extras, and a lot of the manufacturers don't want to put them in because it's hidden money. But if you tell us it's there, you advertise it, you make a big deal about it on social media or whatever, we will pay for it because we like better things. We're already spending a ton of money.
If you build it. They will come.
Yes.
That is true.
More in a moment, but first, this episode is sponsored by eTrailer. Ever feel like finding the right RV part is like searching for a needle in a haystack? Enter eTrailer.com. Whether you're puzzled about which product is right for you or how to install it, eTrailer has got you covered. Their U.S.-based customer service is available by chat or phone 7 days a week, and with expert Q&As, helpful articles, and tons of reviews and install videos, you'll tackle any RV problem with confidence. eTrailer strives to get their hands on everything they sell, and their website is full of overviews, reviews, buying guides, and tutorials. And it's not just RV parts, it's towing and vehicle accessories, camping supplies, and more. Head to the link in the description and get free shipping on orders over $99. Harvest Host is a membership that allows RVers to take a rest from the road and enjoy unlimited overnight stays at over 5,000 unique locations in North America, like breweries, farms, attractions, wineries, and much more. Easily plan and book your next RV trip and enjoy over $1,500 in exclusive member benefits by joining Harvest Hosts. Get 15% off your first year of membership with the code MILES. That's M-I-L-E-S. Go to harvesthost.com to become a Harvest Host member today.
What do you miss the most about full-time RVing? So this is a two-part question, so let's do that part first. What do you miss the most about full-time RVing? I miss the freedom.
Yeah.
So I miss the road. I miss a changing landscape. I miss chasing seasons or being able to say, yeah, I want to go to this thing. Yeah, we want to go to the Balloon Fiesta, or we want to go up to Hershey, or we want to go down to Tampa, or we want to meet our friends, or go see my brother in California, or we want to spend time back here in the Midwest for a couple months. And I miss sort of not being bound, how quickly we became bound to schedules and routine. And it's fine because it really is a chapter of our lives that we needed to do for our kids, and they're thriving and they're having the best time making new friends and exploring things that they enjoy. But I know that for me, I do miss just that sort of, we've lost a little bit of control of our
Again, we feel kind of like newbies in a way, since we've stopped being full-timers, and now it's been, 2 years? But we're sort of relearning how to RV. We're planning everything out completely, where as a big component of our travels was kind of what the theme that we've placed on this event has been, is called Let's Get Lost. Our travels as full-timers for a long time involved maybe 2 or 3 days before it was time to move, looking to see what campground had availability within, you know, a 300-mile radius, and just heading that direction. And we discovered lots of communities and lots of places that we loved along the way that we never intended to go, and that we probably wouldn't have gone to were we planning a trip.
Yeah, 100%. The next part of this question is, what do you love the most about full-time sticks and bricks? Hot water, a giant kitchen, a house that doesn't shake when the kids go running up the stairs, a giant shower.
Dishwasher.
A dishwasher, a washer and dryer that actually can do a whole load and doesn't take hours to do. I really like being able to go up to a room all my own and shut my door, and I don't really hear anybody else. There's a lot of, like, just the day-to-day things that I love about being stationary, and I do love being a part of a community. I should say that too, like, especially as I've gotten to know, you know, I'm the primary homeschool teacher in our family. As we have settled down, it's really kind of started to develop some clear lines, where Jason is certainly working full-time, probably full-time and full-time, two full-time jobs, and I'm taking a more part-time role, but I'm taking on a full-time role in the house. And so it has been really enjoyable to get to know the homeschool community and meet some of the other homeschool moms that I've met and their kids, and to start developing these relationships and having that kind of, again, that conversation that I can have with other homeschool parents about what's working for you or what's not, and to do that face-to-face and develop that. Because there needs to be a little bit of trust sometimes, I think, between some of us homeschool parents before we sit down and really want to discuss the ins and outs of our school challenges or successes. And so those things have been really nice. Getting to know the community, clearly being near his dad and stepmom have been wonderful. Getting to spend time with them, you know, getting to be so close to my parents that we can be there in, you know, 7-8 hours.
It's the first time since we've been parents that we've lived near people that can watch our kids.
Yeah.
And that we can go out and leave
and
them
alone.
And
we've taken advantage
of
that.
Yeah,
for
yeah.
For sure. Like, we've definitely taken advantage of that. So, day-to-day life stuff as a family, that's been great. Sticks and bricks. Abby, the traveler, the wanderer, she's given some of her full-time joys up in order to fulfill the need of that, knowing that in a few years, the road will be there again.
We intend to, if not be full-timers, camper. We'll be heavy travelers, most timers, when the kids are out of the house.
Jason's already pricing out truck campers. That's, you know, that or a van, maybe a tiny little Airstream, you know, something tiny that no one else could sleep in, so nobody can come visit.
They can sleep in a tent.
Looking at you, 12-year-old. Oh, this is a great one. How much time and effort do you invest per hour of broadcast time for your shows? So the RV Miles podcast, not only what you see is the amount of time you kind of saw us a little bit setting up here. Now it's a little bit easier in the studio because we leave everything set up. The lights are already ready to go, camera. But you can kind of see there's some back and forth that needs to go into that. I will count the amount of time that it takes for me to do this stage makeup that I put on because I don't like doing it. And it's like I fight with it every single time. So there's all these like sort of behind the scenes things for the RV Miles podcast.
A lot of it depends a bit on what the episode's about. If it's just about somewhere we've gone, really it's just about looking back through our notes and photos and things and being able to remember things about that, looking up prices for things.
Yeah, but we do sit down and put like show notes together. We have a running document that we copy and paste every single week. That's the format for this show, how it's going to go. What are the advertisers this week? What are our tanks going to be? Boy, do we talk a long time to try and figure. Like I was telling Jason, my tank tonight cannot be about yogurt because that was what I was going to give a fresh tank to. And I was like, tonight is not the night to talk about yogurt. I was like, I need something else. So there's a lot of like before recording conversations that happen. And then afterwards, usually one episode, if it's a full-length episode, probably takes us about an hour and a half to 2 hours, because when we finish this, we do the detour for our Mile Marker members. So we do that behind-the-scenes podcast for them as well. After that, the podcast goes to Jack. Jack will probably spend another hour to two editing the first cut for Jason to get all of our starts and stops, or maybe one of us gets a little testy with the other one and we need to take a little break and then we come back and or things like that. And then once Jack is done with that, it goes back to Jason. Jason will drop in and search for all the B-roll that's needed, especially if it's destination heavy episode. There's a lot of imagery for the video version that we have to put over it. So probably all in all, the podcast every week is probably about 8 hours.
We really actually try to keep each piece of content we do to a day. So the news videos, it's the same thing. The news videos, it's a sort of a beginning to end day. I'll have looked at and gathered lots of news stories that I've read throughout the course of the week. But that morning, on a Monday morning, when I'm putting a news episode out, I'm pulling everything together that I have, anything new that's come out that morning, and usually Monday mornings is when a decent amount of stuff comes out. I triage it, you know, put it in order of what I think is most important, cut things that aren't gonna go, and then I start writing a script, and then by like 2 o'clock or so, 3 o'clock sometimes, I'm recording, then Jack helps me edit, and then we try to get it out by 6, 7 o'clock.
I get nervous if he's not recording by like 1:30, 2 o'clock, because then I get worried about the back end of the editing time, because sometimes those get really, again, B-roll heavy, the imagery that you see over these episodes, and wanting to make sure that it hits by a certain time. You know, we kind of unfortunately, live and die by the YouTube algorithm. And so if we, you know, it's football season now, so now I'm competing with Monday Night Football for a lot of you, so stop watching Monday Night Football. Come over and watch the news. But we know that if we can't get something to hit by a certain time on the East Coast, then we run the risk of not being able to get that out that day, and we need to hold it for the next day, which is the last thing we want to do because news shifts so quickly every day. Our biggest editing challenge right now is probably the national park stories for parkography.
Yeah, those are pretty intensive. We have writers that help us write those and research them, but then pulling all the imagery and making sure it's all public domain and all that sort of stuff and making it look nice, that takes a decent amount of time. The studio, though, has really helped us, and this is a big part of why we got off the road. The studio has really helped us move things along quickly because the lights are already set up, the microphones are already set up, the camera's already set up, and that was a big challenge on the road because you'd have to be the right time of day because you'd need the sunlight to be okay outside. If it's the middle of the day, the sun's right above you, you look terrible in harsh light. We didn't want to be near other people when we're recording. You know, we didn't want to disturb other campers, but also it's kind of hard to do. You're embarrassed. You're, you know, in front of people, that stuff. And inside was always hard because it would be loud or the light would be bad. And now that we can control all of those settings, it's helped speed things up dramatically.
And then each episode has its own social media pattern. Like, so, you know, and it's something that I continue to struggle with. Probably the hours of social media put into trying to turn every episode into a series of reels, especially the news videos, or finding the imagery to go with the podcast. And all of these sort of back-end bits and pieces that help promote these shows, you know, it is why we sometimes suffer in other areas, why our website isn't as up-to-date as we would like it to be, where, you know, other projects, and, you know, Jason talked earlier today about, you know, a website we would like to build, things like that get put on the back burner because we move, you know, four pieces of content come out every single week, and just those four pieces of content alone, and then trying to be parents and trying to be a teacher and trying to be partners and trying to have any kind of social life, you find yourself, if you're not careful, working 60 to 80 hours a week, and the next thing you know, it's Sunday, and you're starting it all over. So we have definitely, getting off the road has allowed us to find some balance because we don't travel. You know, we're not going from campground to campground as often, but it's we wouldn't change it for the world. I don't want it to sound like we're complaining about it. We wouldn't change what we do for the world. But it is definitely, we have to focus in and we got to grind because if we don't, it doesn't get done. Were Grant and Jenny friends before RVing? So this is a great question. So for those of you who don't know, Grant is right here. Jenny is right here. Grant and Jenny have been around RV Miles for several years. Grant has done lives with us in Alaska. They've been here at homecoming. And Grant, Jenny, and I have been friends. Well, Jenny and I have been friends since we were 14. Grant and I have been friends since probably we were 15 or 16. However, our mothers did know each other when we were babies. And then Grant annoyed the life out of me when we were like, So Grant and I have really known each other for 46 years. So Grant and Jenny are the godparents to our kids. They are an instrumental part of our lives. They are not our friends. They are our family. Jenny is my sister. Grant is my brother. Then they adopted Jason when he came into the family as well. And so homecoming for us is just as much about our family coming home to our family and sharing what we do with them as it is getting to know all of you and becoming family with you. So, yeah, we're still trying to get Jenny and Grant into an RV.
Yeah.
So if you all could work on that this weekend, continue to encourage Jenny, that would be great. According to your husband, we're waiting on you to make a decision. That's what I've been told. Yeah. So I said, we'll see you in Tampa and we'll get you a rig then. Where is one place you've been to that you'd say we have to go? Y'all. Gotta go to New Mexico.
I'll give you something
Let's not do the New Mexico answer. That's real
no,
basic.
No, I'll give you something different. And this is something we're going to talk about tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to talk at one of the seminars about hidden gem destinations. Fort Langley, outside of Vancouver, is one of my favorite towns that we've ever visited. And they've got a county campground. I don't know what they call it up there in Canada. But it's you can walk into town from it. So I love places like that. This is kind of similar here. It's a little bit further, but you could walk into town from here. Some of our friends have, but you could bike into town here and explore the local community and the restaurants and wineries and all that sort of stuff. It's a very similar thing up there, and it's a wonderful, wonderful place.
I will, obviously, New Mexico is my first answer. My second one is I would encourage you to do the Gulf Shores if you haven't done the Gulf Shores. So run along the Gulf through Mississippi, into Florida, Pensacola. The Gulf Island National Seashore is one of the most beautiful places, Alabama. But really just, we love, there's a campground in Ocean Springs, Mississippi that's part of the Gulf Island National Seashore. And then you have Fort Pickens out in Pensacola. Those are, you know, we just really love that little, the panhandle section of Florida and those sugar sand beaches. So I would say if you haven't gone down into that area of the South, I would highly encourage you to do that. Do you have any trips scheduled? In
no.
my mind, yes.
We have zero trips.
I have a lot of trips scheduled, but just actually not actually scheduled.
The only thing we know we're doing is going to Tampa in January for the Florida RV Super Show. Yeah. But other than that, we have not figured anything out. We do want to do a little more camping this fall. We don't want to be quite done yet.
Yeah.
And then we've got to figure out what the heck we're doing this spring. And a lot of you have asked here, are we having an event sometime this spring? And the plan is to do so at some point. We have no idea what or where. So.
Yes, but we do plan to do something. We're just not sure. And we have talked, I think, tentatively, what we think next year's kind of theme for us is going to be in regards to travel is experiencing what it is like to travel more local. So we do, you know, last year or this year, I should say, we did that big trip, gone for 8 weeks out into the West, Colorado, Wyoming. We were down in South Dakota. Like it was a huge trip and we loved it. But we think it would be something we've never done before as this new chapter of RVing that we're living in is not everyone can take those big 8 week trips. So how can we carve out those amazing RV memories by staying within a certain radius when we know we've only got a week that we can travel, or we've only got a weekend and a long weekend or something
Wisconsin,
like that.
Wisconsin, Michigan, Illinois, Iowa.
I've heard Northern Michigan is lovely. Yeah. So, I mean, yes.
Northern Michigan is a ways.
Yes,
it's not as close as it seems, but it's doable.
We can do it. And a lot of you have asked about the Northeast. It's not happening next year. I don't think I'm taking the 37 RV miles up into the Northeast. I think that's... I know. So, but we're going to get there, I promise. I just think after this big trip last year, I think next year what we want to do is try to be a little bit more sporadic in our travels and not do something so huge. So that's kind of the 2026 idea. What is the scariest road you've ridden on in your RV? This is a two-parter, so let's do that one first. I got one right.
Yeah,
immediately.
I don't really get scared.
No. Wow. I'll field this one then.
My answer would be, and I actually don't mind driving in big cities, but I hate driving through Dallas. It's with a big rig. It's the worst. People are driving so fast, and everybody's driving something large. You've got tons of dualies going 90 miles an hour every which direction, and GPS doesn't understand itself in Dallas because there's so many overlapping spaghetti highways.
Well,
it's
if you put your blinker on, then everyone starts speeding up because they don't want to let you over, which is why nobody uses their blinker in Dallas. And it's just, it's not ideal when you've got a big rig behind you. But my answer was the road we got, you're going to help me tell this story. It's the road we got diverted when we were going to Montrose for this, when I think it was the second RV Entrepreneur Summit that we were going to.
Yeah.
And the one main road was closed.
We were coming across, Colorado on US 50, which is beautiful. That's one of my favorite drives across the state. But coming into Montrose, we got diverted at whatever that dam is.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you what we got diverted onto because I couldn't see it. The fog was so thick.
It was so thick, and we had the 37 FLL with us. We get diverted up into this winding road where the fog is so thick, and they're rerouting all of the truckers as
well.
It's
like a two-hour detour.
And so as we're going up and we're hugging the mountainside and we're coming around these bends, we can't see anything because the fog is so thick. We have no idea if there is a massive semi coming in the opposite direction, coming around the bend as us at the same time. And at one point during this, and this was just, it was nonstop.
Nowhere to pull over.
And
nothing.
When we finally saw somewhere to pull over, I told Jason, pull over, pull over, pull over, because I had to get out, go under, and it was also raining. It was fog and it was raining. I had to get out and hide under the front cap of the truck and trailer and just breathe for a minute because I was so freaked out. And I knew that this road wasn't ending. And I knew we didn't have a choice because the only choice was just to turn around. And we couldn't turn around. But it was, to this day, I mean, when anyone asks me, what's the worst road you've been on? Just scary fog, truck driver road that I still don't know the name of. Jason doesn't get scared, though. So that's what's the most beautiful road you've been on?
Oh, well, that was US 50. As I said, it's certainly one of them. It's up there.
There's so many. My mind went right to driving back from Alaska through the Canadian Rockies.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was, and much in the Stewart Cassiar Highway too, going into Alaska was some of the most beautiful scenery. I mean, just breathtaking the whole time. Top of the world. That was, you really felt like you were on top of the world.
But coming back through BC, through the Canadian Rockies, there was so much wildlife just hanging out all over the place.
Bears
on the roads. Just
everywhere.
Bear, bison.
At some constantly. Point, you just were like, oh, there's a bear again.
Hardly any other cars around. And you're always going along, a gorgeous rippling stream or river. And it was beautiful.
But if we're talking lower 48, I mean, obviously Needles Highway is really beautiful.
Yeah.
That's a stunning drive. Just, kind of pick your poison. Do you want mountains? Do you want, ocean?
The first thing that my mind went to is a lot of the scenic drives without the rig through national parks. Those are some of the things that we like finding in national parks. There's a couple great ones in Yellowstone. There's a couple great ones in Great Smoky Mountains National Park that we love.
Oh, and, yeah. I mean, beauty can be found anywhere, to be honest. Any road holds beauty if you just, know where to look for it or keep your eyes open for it. When will next year's homecoming be so we can put it on the calendar? What an excellent question.
The plan is that it will be, we don't have it totally set yet, but the plan is that it will be again, moving back to the second week of October.
It will be either, we have two dates already set for 2026, 2027. I think 2026 is going to be October 8th through the 11th, or it'll be the 7th through the 10th, whatever that Wednesday, Jen's got my phone so I can't look, but it'll either be the 8th through the 11th or the 7th through the 10th of October 2026.
But that's the plan.
So yeah, we're going to move back to those October dates. Maybe we will get rid of some of this summer weather. That would be nice. Oh, wow. Is water wet? Is a hot dog a sandwich? Who is your favorite son and why is it Ethan? There's been a raging is a hot dog a sandwich debate going on during homecoming.
A hot dog is a taco.
It is a hot. It is a sandwich.
And look, you can't ask the question and expect that to be the answer.
And Ethan, I don't even think is present.
Did
right
he
now.
Leave? Is so he not I even? He's like, he's way over there.
Oh, okay. I was just saying, he doesn't even know that question was asked about him.
He's got his headphones on. He doesn't even know. We could say anything about him right now.
It's amazing. What are your top three national parks to visit?
Oh, right away, Zion, Yosemite, and Yellowstone are my three.
Okay. I will say White Sands, Zion, and boy, it's really a toss-up for me between Great Smoky Mountain National Park and Yellowstone, probably.
I mean, this is a tough question for me.
Badlands is so good.
Those seem like kind of generic answers, I guess, too, because they're three of the biggest parks. But my real answer to this question is always the next one.
It's always the next one.
And there are I'm surprised and love
Voyagers.
Each one of them. I mean, Carlsbad Caverns is a place that's unlike anything else I've ever seen in my life. And I've been to a lot of caves.
Bandelier's really great. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough to say. I mean, they're all so unique
Verde.
And special. Yeah, I mean, there's so, like, Black Canyon of the Gunnison, even though we were just there. I mean, even just driving through Petrified Forest was, like, amazing.
But if you want to ask me a place that I could spend a month at, it's going to be one of those three parks, Zion, Yosemite, or Yellowstone. Ooh.
Which national parks have longest lead times for reservations? This is interesting. I just got an email today. It's not a national park per se or in the park, but I just got an email today from Yellowstone Grizzly RV Park, which is right in West Yellowstone. And they're opening up there October 1st. They will be opening up for 2026, all of 2026. So that basically means that by October 2nd, a good chunk of all of like peak time in Yellowstone, if you don't get Fishing Bridge and you don't get one of the parks inside, will be gone for the places to stay inside West Yellowstone.
This is a tricky question because there's so many even smaller parks that have just small campgrounds and that book up really rapidly.
Yeah, I mean, if we're talking campgrounds, yeah, I mean, as soon as the booking window opens for some of these more Fishing Bridge, again, I'll go back to that one, is, you know, it's if you're trying to get in there during peak season, then
yeah, I think
you have to be
now.
On it, yeah. You know. At the same time, when we were in South Dakota over Memorial Day weekend, it was Memorial Day weekend, I didn't even think that I would have needed to book a reservation in advance for Jewel Cave. And I thought, well, let's do Jewel Cave while we're here. You know, it's
For tours.
Yeah, for a tour. Yeah. Sold out for the whole weekend. You know, and that's not really even something I think, you know, is on our radar as one of the big major parks. But, the reality is right now, especially if you're traveling in peak season, you're traveling around holidays, as soon as those booking windows open, it doesn't matter if it's, you know, a capital N, capital P, or if it's a national monument or a historic site or whatever. They're going to book. And so you just, if it's really, really important to you, it just makes sense right now to just be up on when those reservation
windows. We will tend
to,
if we have a big national park as a part of our plans, we will tend to book that first and just find whatever great window is open. And that's when our trip's going to be. And that's what we book the rest of our trip around. So if we have sort of one kind of anchor goal of that trip, like this last, our spring trip was Yellowstone. We booked a week at Fishing Bridge in Yellowstone, and then we booked the rest of the trip around that.
Next question. These are some emotional doozies here.
Oh, boy.
Is there a story that really just deep down made you mad or upset?
Well,
if y'all have been around this weekend, you might know that the RV situation I had with the rental for my parents probably made me pretty mad, pretty upset.
I was telling this story earlier today, but y'all remember, if you've been around RV Miles for a while, you remember back when we were kicked out of a campground back in 2020. And, you know, the height of the pandemic, and I had ordered a computer to be delivered to a park because mine died, and we got kicked out of this campground because you weren't allowed to receive packages there. And that was one thing. But then, you know, we made a little video about it, and it kind of went viral. And it put us on the map in a lot of ways. But in the wake of that, there's this one RV content creator that did a video about whether we were just spoiled influencers.
It was really about whether or not we were lying.
Or we were lying about the whole situation. And then they brought somebody on another episode that was apparently somebody that was at the RV park, and that they made all these sorts of things up about us, and we're saying our kids were like ravaging this campground for a week before this happened. We had only been at this campground for like 12 hours.
Yeah.
And when you bring my kids into it, that's when the rest of it was funny, you know, not funny, but like you could look down on these people.
Yeah.
But when you bring kids into it, that always gets me. And every now and then in a campground, you know, somebody will come up and chastise your kid for something that is absurd. You know, we're people that, like, if our kids are doing something wrong, we believe in community and that adults should be able to, you know, say something. And that's fine. But, like, there's one time we were at a campground, and our oldest, Jack, you know, he's into film, and he was much younger then, and he had his iPad. And I think this was in 2020 as well.
It was in 2020. It was like as the pandemic was starting.
He had his iPad going around the campground.
No, they were at the playground.
Yeah,
and they were filming at the playground.
Filming stuff with
a bunch of other kids.
And the maintenance guy at this campground came up to him and kind of yelled at him and said, "If you drop that, you're going to pick up all the circuit boards and glass." I don't think that's the problem, first of all. If you drop your iPad, I don't think maintenance guy is the one you're going to have to worry about. But, you know, that kind of thing, it's just, don't be grumpy with kids. Yeah. Kids outside playing, I get really, Facebook groups, wherever it is, when people get angry at kids outside, when they say, "Oh, my camping trip keeps getting ruined by kids screaming." And what I hear in my head is, I mean, yeah, sometimes there are kids that get annoying. Believe me, we've had some issues in the past with other families.
But adults also get annoying at the campground, too.
What I hear in my head is you are hearing kids playing, and you're probably the same people that are like, kids never play outside anymore. They're always on their electronics. Don't give kids a hard time for being outside. Their families bringing them to the campground. They're riding around on their bikes. That's great. That's fantastic to me.
Jason doesn't like it when you talk about his kids negatively, if you can't tell. And he's generally a really level. It takes a lot to get, I think I've said this before, it really does take a lot to like ruffle Jason's feathers. And that's when I usually know like something is serious, is when, because it doesn't take much with me. I mean, I'm like, you know, pretty quick. But with Jason, he's really level-headed. And if he starts to get upset, then I'm like, oh, this is bad. Like, and then I know that something's coming. So I would agree with Jay. Anytime the kids get, you know, kind of dragged in our business, we both get really pretty angry. Also, is there a story deep down that emotionally put a tear in your eye? I will, of course, you know, always say Minot. You know, that will always be kind of the thing I come back to. And Jason's brain surgery and the time we spent in Minot and the community that rallied around us and the family that came to us. Minot was back in 2019 when Jason developed a brain infection and within 48 hours was having brain surgery, and we were stuck in Minot in a 38-foot travel trailer going into winter for about 3 months while he was recovering. Emotionally will always be with me, but as time goes by, the things I remember most about it are the people that, you know, bolstered us and kept us afloat during that time and didn't let us ever feel like we were alone, even though we were so far away from everyone. So emotionally, yeah, Minot will always be that. And then I would say, of course, when we met Jerry at the Army Corps of Engineer campground in Nebraska.
I've told this story a couple times on the podcast. I won't tell the whole thing, but we met this man who's probably in his late 70s, early 80s, at a campground, and he was there with his travel trailer, and he had outside sitting two kayaks and two bikes, and he was all by himself. And it was the first time he had gone camping without his wife, who had passed away from breast cancer just recently beforehand. And he was just hoping that somebody would, you know, go out on a kayak with him or something. And And I'm kind of, you know, shy when it comes to stuff like that. But I went out with him on a kayak and just rode out on the water for a couple hours while he just talked about his wife for 2 hours. And it was really a powerful experience for me.
Yeah. Boy, that makes me cry more than my knot was making me cry. Jason and Abby, do you see yourselves going back on the road full-time again after your boys are out of the house? Yeah, absolutely. If it's not full-time, we'll sold everything again.
We'll probably have some sort of home base still.
At least a studio base, probably.
But we will probably spend more time away from home traveling than at home, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. And we also look as what is time going to look like as, you know, we become five and then four maybe and then three and then eventually two. And what does that look like for our, you know, what kind of RV would we be interested in and things like that. So the road is always going to be calling us. It sings to me every day. I don't always get to answer. But I know as we get to a different chapter in our lives later on, we'll spend probably more time on the road. Our kids will never see us. They'll always just be like, where are mom and dad now? And they don't know. We don't know where mom and dad are. Nobody knows. And that'll be fine with me. So, yeah, we do hope to do that.
I have
that.
A feeling our children will be kind of scattered around the country, and it will be a way for us to go visit them as well.
Yeah, for sure. Jason and Abby, where do you see RV Miles in 5 years or 10 years?
We'd love to have a bit more of a staff. It would be nice.
Yeah.
Just a person or two to
just
help us through some stuff. And it's, you know, it's a big jump. You know, as any business owner knows, you start out a business and you get to that point where you need to hire somebody. But then you're going to be responsible for that person's livelihood in their life. And you have to know that you can take care of them as an employee and at whatever capacity that is and make it work out. And, you know, we've gone down the road of having people part-time and people hourly, and it's just not enough. They're not really invested in our business. We know we're going to need a full-time person to join our staff at one point, and it's a big, scary step. But we would like our brand to continue to grow beyond just the two of us, and be something that has more voices on board and that is a larger advocate for the RV community. I always say that I would like to be sort of like, you know, like Motor Trend is for cars. Like, we are that for RVing. And whether that's we do the news, we have the podcast, but maybe we have other people doing, you know, reviews of RVs, or we have other people doing lifestyle travel. I would like to grow our brand into something that is beyond the two of us.
Absolutely. And we would like it to be just a collection of diverse voices that experience RVing in all different kinds of ways, and that we can share those stories, but then also continue to grow community, continue to have events like this where we can all come together and enjoy RVing. But, you know, these roundtable discussions we have about the industry and things like that, where we can actually hear from you guys and try to be a voice for you. We've been given a platform, we've been given, people will give us their ear, and it would be silly of us to not to try to use that on behalf of all of you if you will allow us and let us. And so that is our hope, that in 5 years, 10 years, this business has grown in that capacity where there are many voices that are advocating for the industry, or for you with the industry. And RV Miles is more than just Jason and Abby, because I would like to retire someday. So that I would like to someday retire. That is, and just travel. So
before you read the next question, I'm going to do a quick audio check just to make sure we're recording, because I can't see it.
Wouldn't that have been something?
No, I knew we were recording at the beginning.
I just
wanted to make sure we still were. Normally I can see the big red record button. It's not in front of me, so it's annoying.
We'd be plugging in fake laughter and applause back in the,
I don't know
the
if you
studio
know this.
Later.
I don't know if you know this.
No, I probably don't.
But last year.
Oh, no.
Last year, we weren't recording. Our mics were not recording.
What?
And I did a ridiculous amount of work cleaning up the audio coming from the camera, because the camera's got a microphone on it too. So it was picking up the sound to make it sound, you know, at least passable. It was a lot of work.
He knew he needed to wait a whole year before he told me that story. It's like, and that the audio was working. So thank you for doing that. I appreciate you. What is one thing that the two of you disagree on with travel schedules?
Oh, well.
Please.
I'm okay with getting to a campground a little bit later in the day. Not late, not dark, not after 5 o'clock. I mean, 5 o'clock is usually fine, but Abby is really like, we need to be there by like, if it's after 5 o'clock, she starts asking like, I think we need to call the campground and tell them we were arriving late. And I'm like, this is like normal time. I don't understand. But she just wants to get there and make sure everything is great. And that's fine. That gets us going. Because if she wasn't doing that, we'd probably be arriving at 9 or 10 o'clock at night. One of my earliest memories of any memory is my parents like waking up in the backseat of my car with my parents. I'm sitting in my car seat in the backseat. And looking out the windshield, seeing my parents setting up a tent, yelling at each other in the dark, trying to figure out how to put a tent up at like 11 o'clock at night or something ridiculous about that, like that. So it's, you know, that's not a situation I love being in. We've all been there, but.
Yeah, I definitely like to get to the campground before dinner. And that's because I know that I've got 3 kids in the back that are going to get hungry.
That's fair.
And I don't want to set up a campsite while people are hungry. I want to have the time to set up and get everything open, get the slides open, and have then a space that I can cook dinner for people. Because it will be a lot of I'm hungry, I'm hungry, I'm hungry, or we end up trying to stop somewhere and it's just a mess. So I like to get, the sweet spot for me is arriving around like 3 or 4 mm-hmm. o'clock. I really like that. I would say the other place that we disagree pretty regularly is on the day that we should travel. What day should we travel? Because Jason will just travel on any old day. And I'm like, no, that's a Monday and you have to do the news and we can't be traveling on Mondays because there's no way we can get to that campground and you can still do the news. When are we going to record the podcast? There's a lot of, like for Jason, it's about like, what's the best day to get to the destination? And then for me, it's like, what's the best day that doesn't have us stressed out trying to accomplish
and for
all
me,
of
it's
our work
always
before we
like,
get there?
And rightly so, she's absolutely right about this. I shouldn't be this free about it, but I'm always like, yeah, any day is fine. And she's usually like, no day works. How are we doing this? Every day is bad.
Yeah, every day is packed.
We can't do this. Because I'll offer up a day, and she'll be like, no, we can't do that. So I'll offer up the other option. And
if
no, we can't do that.
If it ends in Y, it doesn't work. Like, yeah. It's just pretty much.
But
so what's
listen,
the least worst day to she's travel?
She's really good at telling me when people are breaking up ahead. It's great.
I am. And if it wasn't for me, yeah, we never would have seen that car 20 miles up ahead with its brake lights on so that we could slow with a 43-foot trailer behind us at a nice, gentle pace.
I see a few of you have been in that situation. Yeah.
And I know a few of you understand the pain that I go through. Thank you. What budget cuts do you see for the future of national parks, or what budget cuts were do you see? Where are we gonna start slicing and dicing?
Well, the unfortunate thing is that there's just not a lot of room to cut, and there are certainly portions of the government that have overblown budgets. The National Park Service has not been one of them for many, many years, as we can tell by the massively growing backlog of maintenance projects that need to be taken care of. And what we're going to see if budget cuts continue, and this has happened under administrations of both parties, if budget cuts continue, we're just going to see maintenance backlogs grow more and more, even though tons of money was set aside through the Great American Outdoors Act to fulfill some of those issues from the maintenance backlog. And a lot of money has gone into parks in recent years to take care of that maintenance backlog. But what we're just going to see is that maintenance backlog growing and growing and growing again, because when a park doesn't have the money to take care of things, the first thing they do is just let those sorts of projects where things need to be fixed, just lapse. It's, you know, any business, I think that's the quickest thing that you can do to save money is just push down the road problems that eventually need to be addressed. And those things do end up costing us a lot more money in the end, because as we all know, you know, if you don't change the oil in your car, you're going to be buying a new engine. It's a very similar situation in a lot of places where, you know, you don't maintenance the picnic tables at a campground, you're going to be replacing them all. Simple stuff like that. And I think it's unfortunate that the National Park Service keeps getting caught in sort of some of these budgetary concerns, but it is what it is. So
I agree with everything he just said. So we're going to do a little rapid fire here.
Okay.
We've got a few more to get through. So we can give quick answers to this one for sure. What's the single best app to find campgrounds in the U.S.? If you're looking for federal, you're recreation.gov. Like, I have a series that I look at. I look at recreation.gov, I look at RV Life, I look at iOverlander, I look at Campendium.
They're all better at different things.
Yeah. I mean,
one best one, but they are all, if you're into RV parks, campground reviews, RV Life's campground reviews is probably the best at this point. And if you're into federal campgrounds, just go straight to recreation.gov.
Yep.
And then the state parks could be all over the place, and it depends. But boondocking, we've really enjoyed iOverlander in recent years.
How many campgrounds have disappointed you over the years, and why? That's a really hard one, and I peeked on this one, and I've been thinking on this for a little bit. We've definitely had disappointing campgrounds, for sure. I can't quantify it. For us, it tends to be, I don't know what disappoints. This is a tough one. This is really hard for me.
My requirements for a campground, and I've told this to lots of, we get asked to consult every now and then, just have a quick, you know, hour-long Zoom call with some resort community that wants to build a $12 million campground, something like that. And my general line is always, I want flat, spacious sites. I want clean facilities, and I want friendly people that work there. And you can put all the amenities you want in an RV park or a campground, but if you don't have those things, any one of those things can be a deal breaker, something that ruins an experience. Often it's grumpy staff or stupid rules, like not being able to receive package, stuff like that. You know, just the insanity of some of the rules that are out there. People like to operate their parks in a different world sometimes. And as long as there's friendly people working there and, you know, the bathrooms are cleanish or the sites have some room to them and you don't smell your neighbor's sewer, I'm happy.
Yeah, as long as my picnic table isn't on top of someone's sewer, that's a win in my book. That's a win in my book. When it comes to a private campground, I'm not answering this one. So I'm not doing that. I know what you wrote, but when boondocking, what's the best position?
The best position to face the rig? This is from her family.
This was my family. My family asked this question. I would say, I'll answer it from an RVer's perspective. And if you're boondocking, it's nice to face the fridge away, if you can, from the heat of the day, the sun, so that it's not beating right down on your fridge and then making the fridge run more. Because that's going to use...
That's what you're talking
about. Oh, is that what you're talking... Okay. I'm sorry. I apologize. I shouldn't have assumed. And you know what happens when you assume. So I shouldn't have done that. So I apologize. Please. From the bottom of my heart, forgive me.
What does that even mean? I don't... Never mind.
So what? Do you know what happens when you assume?
No.
You don't know what that means?
What does the question...
Oh. What's,
I mean, I get
so
what they mean, but it's
it.
Weird.
You want a position where the sun
got it.
Isn't,
I got it.
You know, beating down on the rig and making the battery. Yeah. Yeah. Do we have to talk later? We kind of answered this one earlier, but what's the next chapter for RV Miles? Probably getting the studio completely up and running.
Finally.
So that we can start hosting more events there. Yeah. We really want to start having more local things that go on there. And, you know, we're so close to Elkhart as well that we'd really like to start having maybe some seminars, some talks in there, maybe bringing some people in out from Elkhart who might want to do a little bit. And giving enough space that if RVers are coming through that they can, you know, swing by and come join us for
what you see
an event.
On screen in the studio is the office end of it and not the recording end of it that we've been building out forever. So we've got a whole set that's for some of the, for the different shows that we've been building out that's on the other side of what is now the shot on the camera. So eventually it will look quite different. You've seen a few hints of it on Parkography, but it's certainly not anywhere near finished to sort of cut the view off. Yeah. Where things are unfinished.
And hiring staff.
Yeah.
We need to hire some staff. Like, we just need someone to come and help us get our butts organized because we're just not organized enough to be doing what we're doing with just the two of us. What has been your favorite hidden gem of a campground? And we can answer. We're going to talk about this actually tomorrow morning during a seminar. But one off the top of your head, what would you say?
Well, I would have said the one in Fort Langley.
Yeah.
But I already used that. So if I was to use something different, there's this, we really love like little city parks. They're like just little hidden gem city parks where sometimes you have to pay with a check. I hate that part of it. But there's this little park outside of a minor league baseball field in River Falls, Wisconsin. And we showed up there. It's sort of near Minneapolis, St. Paul, like a half hour drive in. And that was where we based ourselves many years ago to visit Minneapolis, St. Paul. And we had such a great time at this little city park that was $15 a night with electrical hookups and showers. And in the town of River Falls, they had a bacon festival going on while we were there. So we were able to walk into town and be a part of Bacon Festival. I had maple bacon donuts and bacon cheese and all sorts. They were throwing pigs off of a rooftop for kids to catch.
Stuffed.
It was wonderful.
Stuffed animals, not real pigs.
Not stuffed pigs, stuffed
not
pigs.
Not actual pigs. Yes. Yeah, that but stuffed animal pigs.
We were talking earlier. I was talking to our friends earlier about Iowa and pigs. So something I learned recently is that, you know, there are more pigs than people in Iowa, but what I learned was that if the pigs uprose against us, humans, that we would each have to fight at least 8 of them in order to survive. Yeah.
So while you all are worried about zombies and you're preparing for the zombie apocalypse, the pigs are mobilizing. So just be aware, have a plan for if an oinker comes at you, because those things
can be really
vicious. Yeah, they're vicious. I would agree with that one. I really like that one. Of course, I've talked about it already. I think Fort Pickens is like a real hidden gem in the National Park Service.
I don't think it's very hidden anymore.
I don't think it's hidden anymore, but I don't think it's one that when you think of, you know, going to camp
the,
at National
the coolest
Park,
things
but...
about Fort Pickens in Pensacola is, you know, right across the bay is the Naval Air Station where the Blue Angels are based out of. And if you're there while they're practicing, you can go over and watch them practice for free, which is really cool. But also, while you're at the campground, they're often flying over. And while we were there one year, they were training a French team. So it was the Blue Angels flying with like 7 French jets and for doing sort of air show type training.
It was loud, but
it was
loud.
Cool. But it was really cool to watch.
I think Allen's Bar, I don't know how much of a hidden gem or secret that one is, but that's up around Olympic and up by the rainforest. There's an incredible boondocking spot that you can go back. We talked about on one of the episodes when we were doing our Baja to Alaska. Allen's Bar, that is one of the coolest boondocking spots I've ever been in. I could have
like stayed. Somebody's land where there was a $5 donation box. Yeah. And wonderful along the river campsites.
Oh, you've kind of already answered this, but it's not a strange question. We actually get this asked a lot. And people, when they come to see the Mile Zero studio, they want to see the green wall. So when you do your YouTube, why do you have half greenery and half windows as your backdrop? Why not all greenery?
It just doesn't look as good. We've tried it both ways. It just looks like a sort of blank green thing. It looks like you're standing at like Wrigley Field against the ivy or something. It just doesn't. The corner gives us more room for the shot. So the camera's further away and it's zoomed in a little bit more. Your face gets a little skinnier. Everything gets a little skinnier.
This is all me.
The background blurs a little bit more.
Yep.
It all looks a little bit better.
I like the soft filter.
People complain about like the people walking in the background or seeing cars go by and stuff like that. And you know,
some people like it too. It's what's happening behind us. So yeah, there's a lot to it. And if we just had green, then the camera would have to be really close up on us, and I'm not here for that, so we don't do it that way. Y'all just gonna have to watch strangers walk behind us. So that's it. That was the last question. Thank you all so very much for that. That was a ton of fun. Way more questions than I thought we were gonna get. A lot of really interesting ones, and clearly after the boondocking one, I got a little flustered. All right, it is time to check the level of our tanks, and that is sponsored by our friends over at Liquified RV Toilet Treatment, the no BS toilet treatment. You can find them at liquifiedrv.com. Okay, Jay, what is in your black tank this week?
So I guess I can blame myself, but I'm going to blame a car wash attendant. So I got the rig washed on our way here at a Blue Beacon. It was real dirty, and it definitely, we wanted to clean it up to show you all it, to take you all through it here. So I took it to the Blue Beacon. It's not a Blue Beacon. It's Truck-O-Mat or something at the I-80, world's largest truck stop. And it's really nice. You pull your rig in, and it cost a lot. It was $90. The last time I did like Blue Beacon, it was like $45. But you know, it was worth it. They spent an hour on it, really doing a great job cleaning the entire outside of the rig. Of course, by the time I got here, there were all kinds of bugs on the front cap again already. But they had got them all off when I was there, and they cleaned the truck as well, and they did a really fantastic job. So I'm pulling out of this Truck-O-Mat after they've washed the rig and I've paid everything. And so I get in and I start it up, and I start pulling out of the garage, and a guy runs over and he's like, wait. And he goes over to the wall and presses something, and then he gives me the thumbs up, like I'm okay. And in the meantime, I'm rolling my window down to see like what's he trying to make me wait for? And he's like, gives me a thumb up, and he's like, go ahead. And I thought maybe like the door wasn't quite low enough or wasn't quite high enough, the garage door or something like that. So I'm pulling out, and all of a sudden, sprayers start spraying the no spot rinse from all these different sprayers around the exit while I had the window down, and that I got absolutely soaked. I had my laptop sitting on the armrest. I had like my backpack with the camera equipment sitting on the passenger seat, the dash was covered in water, absolutely drenched in water. And I talked to Abby right after that. I didn't tell her about this because I wanted to save it for this moment. But
he loves to do this to me because he knows that I won't say anything. I'll just sit there and
look at it. Is it my fault? I don't know, but It was a little bit of a miscommunication, I would say. But I could not roll that window up fast enough. I'm like pulling on the wrong lever and like.
Babe, is that why your computer's not working this week?
No.
Because call me and you tell me like, my computer's not playing video. I can't get it to do anything.
That's the same issue I've been having. It's because the sound isn't working on my computer and I don't know why. And now the sound won't allow video to play because it works when I have headphones on now.
I just think you wanted a new computer. That's what I
think.
I just
got a new computer.
It's
under warranty. They'll fix it.
I'm glad everything was fine. Yeah. The truck looks like it's fine. Great. Okay, what is in your fresh tank this week?
My fresh tank is our son, Jack, who I really wish could be here. He really wanted to be here. Of course, he started college and he had classes, and then he found out that his Friday class was canceled and he actually could have been here. But we're so thrilled for him because he just had a film accepted into a film festival in Chicago that we're going to get to go up and see this fall. So I'm just really proud of him. And I know he'll be editing this, so he'll get to hear that. So
he also just found out that the film he did at Lighthouse Film Studios in Charlottesville over the summer was also accepted into the Virginia Film Festival there. So we're also doubly proud. He's got two films coming up within the next probably month and a half that will premiere at film festivals. So we're very, very, very excited for him. Yeah. Good job, Bubs.
All right, what's in your black tank this week?
I don't have a black tank.
You
so
couldn't
let's move
find
on.
One. You couldn't
no,
even think
I've
of
had
one.
Such a week filled with joy and fun. It's hard to find things. And I didn't go to a truck wash and leave my window down. So I did get the car washed, but I did keep my windows rolled up. So I don't have a black tank.
All right. What's in your fresh tank this week?
So my fresh tank is this totally wild thing we've been watching on YouTube. If you wonder what we do at night when we leave all of you here, or if we've got a couple hours. So Jen and Grant have been coming over, or Mom and Dad are sitting in the rig, and we're watching this channel that Ethan turned us on to, and it's called Jet Lag, L-A-G. It's these three young men, probably in their early 20s, mid-20s, and they play tag across Europe, hide and seek across Europe, and they literally play these games across Europe where they use the rail line to play tag. One of them is the runner. The others are the taggers. He gets a 45-minute head start. He takes off on a train line. He starts cutting through Europe. They have to figure out where he's going. They get so much time to tag him. They've got to do challenges. Ethan has been trying to get me to watch this for months now. And we finally, it just sounded like something that just sounded really innocent and mindless and kind of a lot of fun. And the editing on this is so good that we get really wrapped up in it. And we're like, oh my gosh, are they gonna catch him? And we're like all hooked on it. Jen, Grant, everyone's sitting there. And we're like, one more episode, one more episode. So none of us are getting any sleep because we're over there watching a bunch of kids running through Europe playing hide and seek. But it's awesome. I mean, it's so much fun. And it's really nice to find pockets of YouTube or pockets of the internet. And we hope that for some, this is what the podcast is for them, where you can just come over and you can have a good time and you can explore places maybe you'll never go to or places you want to dream about. They go to locations in Europe and, you know, they're in France, they're in Italy, they're in Switzerland, they're just, and I see all these places and I want to go to all these places. And boy, I wish I had thought to play tag across Europe with my friends.
Oh, yeah, these kids have millions and millions of views on their videos. They're making bank on this.
It's a ton of fun.
Great idea.
It sounds ridiculous, I know, but I'm telling you, you just go, you put it on, and they're just, these young men are so charming, and it's a really good time, and you know, it gets kids, I think, a little kind of excited about travel and getting out there. And find it's nice to see them doing something that keeps me occupied when I've got like an hour to kill over there before I have to come back over.
That's it for this week's episode of the RV Miles podcast.
Ooh, we did it. Yes, we did it. Thank you, everyone, so much for joining us tonight. Thank you to everyone at home who is watching or listening. Of course, this is one of our most favorite times of the year. Homecoming is wonderful. And if you would like to join us, we hope we'll see you at a future homecoming event. We hope that we get to see all your amazing faces again at another homecoming event. But until then, friends, please stay safe, stay healthy, and keep logging those RV miles.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks, everybody.